This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. Bears won. It makes things a lot better as a victory Monday. We thank you for listening. The phone number to participate is 312-332-3776. The Bears are now 5-1.
How about that?
Yep.
About
they're far that? Far from a perfect team, but we will take 5-1 no matter how you slice.
What a great buffer as you try to get your offense on track now. As it gives you some freedom and some leeway that you're not like in a must-win situation as you try to get your offense in rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of good things from yesterday, including the Packers losing to Tampa. And now not only are we talking about a 5-1 team, we're talking about a 5-1 first place Bears team.
That's right.
And Bears Monday on Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by our friends at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealer. Boys, let's talk about... Again, how did they end up flagging it? Did they call it unnecessary roughness on Kyle Fuller?
Wasn't it targeting shoulder to helmet? Isn't
that? Yeah, defenseless receiver. Is that what it was? Targeting or?
I don't know what it's called in the NFL.
You know, and I thought again, like he did not lead with his head. He led with his shoulder.
I'm with you.
And when the receiver Waddle is trying to duck out of the way of a hit, he's lowering his body. The target is moving. When you are committed to making a hit, how are you supposed to control yourself on where you know what I mean? Like you're in a no-win situation if you're Kyle Fuller.
There's no doubt about it. I think I'll equate this to a different hit earlier in the year that we saw that I think is comparable. Do you remember Mario Edwards got called for roughing Matt Ryan? And it was a huge play in the game. What happened was Mario Edwards was coming at a level that was probably going to hit Matt Ryan in the chest. But somebody had gotten to Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan's helmet level came down.
Yes.
And Mario Edwards' shoulder pad hit Matt Ryan in the head, and they flagged him for the same exact thing. By the letter of the law, it's a good call. That one is ridiculously unfortunate for Mario Edwards because that wasn't a dirty hit. There was no intent there. But by the letter of the law, it was a flaggable offense. And unfortunately, I believe the same is true for the Kyle Fuller. Like as a receiver, I would have never been disgruntled about that hit if it was on me. Because once the player dips his head and leads with his helmet, then the intent to me is to hurt. But when you drop your shoulder and your head is up more so, I have much less of a problem with that. So
it's two weeks in a row, you know, one was picked up.
I think by the letter of the law, like that one, though, wasn't a foul by the letter of the law. This one, I think, probably was. Both are unfortunate. Like, but this is the rule.
What was illegal about? What was illegal? That's what I want to hear from a rules expert.
You can't lead with your shoulder into a helmet. It's not just helmet to helmet anymore. It's shoulder to helmet. Like they, a defenseless receiver. That's how they define that play. So
they just err on the side of throwing flags, except when it's Allen Robinson in the end zone.
This is the nature of the inexact science of being an official, and this is why some have in the past wanted to have an extension of being able to challenge pass interference calls.
Right, right.
Because both of those were pass interferences. Allen Robinson was interfered with, and the Carolina Panther receiver was interfered with as well. Unfortunately for us, as Bears fans, they called the one against our guy and didn't call the one against their guy. But both were, in my opinion, pass interference calls. And we were on the short end of the stick for it. Like, I don't think Kyle Fuller's hit was dirty, but I do believe, as the NFL rule reads, it was probably the right call. It's just a bad rule.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still mad about it. Like, I hear what you're saying.
They're trying to, listen, they're trying to eliminate head injuries as much as they can humanly limit them. Unfortunately, you can't legislate violence out of a violent sport completely.
Yeah, I mean, like, when do we get to a point and say, look, it's still football, and a player defensively can still separate a guy from the ball? That was a totally clean hit. Like, I know what you're saying, that did he get his helmet? I still need to see another replay to know for sure he hit him in the head. But with the moving target that you have there,
what is
the guy? It's like a video game type thing. It's Matrix type thing where you expect him, like the Akeem Hicks hit, I think, from a couple games ago, too. You brought up Mario Edwards.
Well, he fell on his body
yeah,
weight.
Like, yeah, here's Akeem Hicks in midair at 300, how many pounds? 320? 320, 330? How big is Akeem Hicks?
He's big.
I don't want you to get him mad again.
You're the one talking.
But, like, Akeem Hicks is supposed to stop his weight?
It's almost impossible.
And how do you stop your weight?
Their response is going to be, nobody wants to see backup quarterbacks playing.
I get it. But there are plenty of dirty hits that should be flagged.
There's
still room for a little bit of hitting in football.
I'm with you 100%. I don't know what to say other than this is the rule. These are the rules that they've put in place trying to eliminate some of the head injuries that have been so prevalent going forward.
Yeah, so the Bears defense, again, played really, really well. And they made, like, Eddie Jackson's had two pick six taken away from him. The pressure was much better.
Listen, one guy who's played, I think, and I don't know how he's graded out, but he seems to be around the ball, and I think he's done a really nice job with a semi-trained eye, but I'm not watching him as closely maybe as somebody else is Gibson.
Safety. I agree with you. I texted you guys like a week or two ago that I've been pleasantly surprised.
He's been a nice addition.
Tayshaun Gibson.
Yes, he's been a nice addition, and I think he's been able to contribute in both the passing game and the run game.
I think if if we were to do a segment right now where for 2 hours we were going back and forth. Hey, are you happy? Are you pissed? What frustrates you? We've had far more calls about people being frustrated. Like, if you were to do a hey, say something nice about the Bears segment, that we have to go around the room and it has to be something good about the Bears. No buts. No, hey, they're 5-1, but this. Like, I think they're secondary.
Try and see when you run out of things.
Okay, well, first of all,
you start.
I think their entire secondary has played not good, but great.
I agree. I think Jalen Johnson had a rough day, as rookie cornerbacks will, over the course of a 16-game regular season.
But for the most part, doesn't he seem like he really fits the role?
He belongs.
What I see about Jalen Johnson is he's in position all the time. He made one mistake on a crossing route yesterday. Other than that, he's in position, whether he makes a play or not.
The best compliment I can give you from a young guy, is he looks like he belongs. And as a rookie, he looks like he belongs. He's made a ton of plays. I think he's been tip of the cap once again, a defensive player, but a tip of the cap to Ryan Pace for that draft pick that looks right now one of the
let him draft defense then. I'm telling you, like, you think it's nuts. Why do you have two guys calling opposite ends of the football in a game? You have a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator.
Why can't you find somebody that can do both?
Ryan Pace can be my college personnel guy, defense. He doesn't get to draft offense.
Wouldn't it be nice to have someone like Kevin Colbert of the Pittsburgh Steelers that doesn't have to, just be focused in on one side of the ball?
Does he have a brother or something?
Does he
a relative who's in football?
How long do you go through defensive things that are good before you, like, we could sit here all day and bounce back and forth. Say something nice about the defense.
Roquan Smith stepped up, especially at the end of the game, and played good football.
I think Danny Trevathan had his best game of the 2020 season.
Yeah, I thought there was constant pressure on a quarterback that usually gets the ball out very, very quickly.
I think some of their rotational guys in their front seven have also found ways to contribute, whether it's Barkevious Mingo.
Yes.
Or is his name Vauders, whatever. I mean, there are a lot of guys I think that they are shuffled. Urban, there have been guys they have shuffled in and out, and guys have made plays.
I thought that after a okay start by Mike Davis, that they shut him down pretty well.
I think DeAndre Houston Carson has made plays in each of the last couple of games.
Well, you get a game ball for getting that your first interception to clinch a football game.
There you go.
That's pretty good. I have very few. I'm Chuck Pagano. I'd rather Vic there, but I can't complain about Chuck Pagano.
Okay, now
after
start
that
saying,
game plan.
Guys, start saying something nice about the offense. Chris, you go first.
Oh, that's really good that you set him up for the...
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm right. In the second half, I think it was early fourth quarter, David Montgomery had a nice run. It was a handoff.
I think it went for six.
Yeah, no, maybe it was the end of the third quarter. He had like a 12-yarder there, didn't he?
Okay, so we're highlighting
it was kind of
one
it was a nice little
play.
Run.
Okay, Eric, say something nice about the offense.
Our rookie tight end scored a touchdown?
Yes.
All right.
In traffic with three guys. And Nick threw it perfectly. I thought Nick Foles had a great press conference. I thought his press conference was star-studded stuff. And I'm joking, obviously. Well, I mean, I'm half joking. But I asked you guys this. We were texting the three of us, and of course I got ignored. It was Wilbon, me, and Waddle.
How'd you get ignored?
I got ignored because I asked you both a question, and instead of answering, you guys were, like, doing something else.
Oh, they left you on read?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but, you know, Wilbon wants to be here a week from today, by the way. He wants to do Bears pregame mode with us in studio. And he laid out his COVID test for us. He told us that he's been tested for COVID seven times and he wants to be here. I love Wilbon. But I asked them the question, when was the last time you felt really, really good about the Bears quarterback as a leader? Again, I'm not confusing Nick Foles with Tom Brady. I'm not confusing him with Russell Wilson, any of the top-tier quarterbacks. His ability, skill-wise, is like a replacement-level quarterback. But as far as leadership is concerned, he's off the charts. When was the last time you felt the Bears offense had a quarterback with the leadership skills that he had?
So by leadership, you mean like understands the offense and needs...
That the players look up to as a leader. Okay, Nick's our leader. Like, who was the last guy? Like, you obviously know that Cutler was a polarizing figure, and he wasn't a leader for everybody. Then who? It wasn't Mitch. You know, Mitch was sharpening iron and
I don't know, but, like, I want somebody that can also play at a high level.
I'm not asking you that. Of course.
Okay, so when was
Patrick Mahomes leading the team?
When's the last time we had a quarterback with an 80 rating but was really good in the huddle?
Yeah, I'm just saying, the guy knows what he's doing in the leadership department.
Joshy Football is a good leader. I'll give you that.
For the three games that Trestman let him play when he should have kept the job in 13?
Like, listen, I'm all for a good leader, and I think it's fantastic. I need to see some production as well. Let's put the bar...
You've got to go before Orton and Grossman even for that. Who was before then?
Jim Miller?
Jim was a good leader, I mean, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, this one feels a little forced. I'm not going to lie.
No, I'm serious about this. Look, I could go a little meathead here, okay? I'm not telling you he is the solution to quarterback. I'm the first guy to tell you the Bears have to find their forever quarterback. That's the way I've been phrasing it. But Nick Foles is a leader.
Yeah.
He's a leader.
Nobody's arguing with you.
Oh, okay.
How is anybody? No, I just think that, like.
That's why you and Wilbon didn't answer me.
No, I was doing something else, I'm sure, at the time.
312-332-3776.
I was going to say, I didn't even get a chance. I had a more kind of a broad compliment for the Bears offense. I was going to tell you that they improved on third down. They were 7 of 14 on third downs.
There's a good one. Say something nice about the Bears. 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Bears win. They're 5-1. We're
Hell
taking
yeah.
your phone calls. 332-3776. Want to thank Miller Lite. Ice cold Miller Lite would sound perfect right now on a Victory Monday. Everyone's inside the chat room on our Twitch page. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago if you want a new way to watch, listen, and react with
little
Waddle
chatter
and Sylvie
here.
Show.
Little chatter.
Little
get a little, get a little chatter over here.
Let's take a bunch of these phone calls. People want to talk Bears. George and Wicker, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, George.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Good. We're good.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just, you know, obviously Bears 5-1, great day, great victory Monday. But some of those mental mistakes I think Foles is talking about that he wants to see cleaned up is one play that sticks out to me. Is when the play breaks down, he's scrambling outside the pocket, and he's got Jimmy Graham standing in the flat doing nothing. And he is barking at him to go run up and make a block. And Jimmy goes up there and completely whiffs the guy. Luckily, Nick still extended and got the first down and got out of bounds and didn't take a hit. But that's something we got to clean up. You got to be able to sell out and take that block downfield.
You know the play he's talking about there late, Waddle, right? Yeah. Where he still ran for the first down.
Yes. Yeah, but yeah. Jimmy was definitely he made it look like he was trying to block him, and then he just put his hands up and let him run right past him.
And maybe that's, George, one of those examples of, you know, getting to know each other as a teammate. Maybe that's being overly simple. Maybe that's making an excuse. Whatever. You should just have the football IQ to know. But if you don't know the quarterback's tendencies, and if you think Nick is less likely to tuck and run, maybe you're trying to keep yourself being a viable option. But listen, there are going to be moments where guys aren't going to be on the same page, and a lot of that should be smoothed over the more they're on the field at the same time.
Rocky and Valpo, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rocky?
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing? First, I want to start out, Sylvie, congratulations. Stay positive, my friend. You'll be fine. I had a 2013 diagnosis that I was supposed to be on the other side of the grass by now, and I haven't even missed a day's work. So
that's
you
awesome,
stay positive.
Rocky.
You'll be fine, sir.
My best to you, too.
I also wanted to say thumbs up to Will, and God bless America. And I also wanted to say, before I get to my point, that I was afraid of Olin Krutz, too, and I was watching him sitting on my couch. So
yeah, he was a hell of a
he's
player.
He's definitely scary.
Yeah.
As far as the running game and as far as Montgomery, I agree with you, Waddle. I think I like him. I think he's going to be a good player. But I think his problem is why he gets hit in the backfield so much isn't as much the offensive line as it is he is. 60-70%, he does that hesitation look for a hole. I think if he put his head down and just run, he would do much better because anytime there is, I saw three times in that game yesterday where a hole did open up, but he hesitated, and by the time he started moving, it closed up. And especially down the goal line where he's trying to punch it in, you can't do that. You just, the great ones just grab the ball and they just go. Thanks
what
for taking
think?
My call.
I think you're going to run right into the ass of one of your offensive linemen who's being pushed back into your face a lot of times. Like, I'm sure it's not all. I'm sure David Montgomery has had moments where he wishes he would have done this, or he may have bounced out here. But I'm not going to come off the point that the majority of the time there is nowhere to go. And the offensive line needs to be better. I like David Montgomery. Again, I'm not telling you he's elite, but I think he's a winning football player. I think he's hard to bring down. I think he is a good receiver out of the backfield. I mean, is he Le'Veon Bell? Maybe not. But, like, I think you can do positive things with David Montgomery. I just don't think you've seen him given the opportunity to kind of showcase what he's capable of doing.
Dave in Florida, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Hey. Listen, my question is, I think that call against Fuller was a defenseless receiver. Okay? Mm-hmm. When is he not defenseless? After he makes the catch? He had the ball in his hand. Tom, you would know this more than anybody. I mean, sure, you'd have got tons of flags thrown.
Yeah, I don't know what truly, I think there's so much ambiguity with it all. I think it's very difficult. I would not want to be a cornerback or a safety in today's game. I mean, you're going to get fined left and right. I think it's very difficult these days to know what's going on. But when you have a defenseless receiver, if he's defined as defenseless, there are times when a guy would be quote unquote a defenseless receiver. But you can't hit him in the head with your helmet or your shoulder pads. So he can be defenseless, but you can't make contact with his head with your helmet or your shoulder pads, I guess would be the best way to describe it.
Nick is in the city. Nick, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What I think is, I watched the 49ers game yesterday. If the Bears could take a page out of Kyle Shanahan's book and just watch this game on how they really balance running and passing. You know, when you play these offenses and all you're doing is passing the ball, they're going to catch on to it. By second half, they're going to revert their game plan. So, I don't know. What do you guys think?
This is football porn for Waddle.
Well, it is. Here's the difference. Trent Williams was the fourth overall pick in the 2010 draft. He's your left tackle. Your right tackle's Mike McGlinchey. He was the ninth pick of the 2018 draft. Okay? Now, Lakin Tomlinson is your left guard. He was the 28th pick of the 2015 draft by Detroit. So they've kind of rebuilt him. The right guard I'm not really familiar with, Daniel Brunskill. And Ben Garland, who has been their center, who got hurt, and Ronis Grassou stepped in and played. I guess the point I'm making to you is that they've got two offensive tackles that were top 10 picks in this league. And oh, by the way, they do run a fullback, okay? And he's pretty damn good. How do you pronounce his name? I never can pronounce it.
Try it.
I'm going to mess it up.
Do it.
Juszczyk. How do you pronounce it?
I think that's pretty close.
That's how I'd go.
Is that
with it?
Yeah?
And he's a kid out of Harvard. I mean, he was a fourth round pick in 2013.
He's way smarter than you.
So is his coffee cup. but like the point I'm making is they're built for that offense. And, oh, by the way, George Kittle may look a little thin to be a kick-ass blocker, but he's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. So I got two first-round pick offensive tackles, top 10 picks. One was four, what'd I say, 8 or 9? And I got one of the best blocking tight ends in all of football. Now, you tell me how our offensive line matches up to then. I'll go to Nashville for the Titans. I believe one of their tackles just was put on IR with an ACL. But their tackles are former first-round picks as well.
Right. It's what Kyle Long told us. We brought that up before. It's this is something that you did say, though, in the chat room yesterday in the text chain. You responded to Wilbon in a way about the offense. This is what probably makes me the most worried about the Bears' offense.
Well, when the run doesn't work, then Matt abandons it quickly and then goes to the quick screen game and then tries to tell you that's part of his running game?
That's part of it. But your statement was a broader, simpler statement. You said when you look at the Bears' offense, you don't see anything they do well. What do they do well? Does the line block for the run?
No.
Does the line pass protect? Do they run the football well? Do they have great wide receivers? Do you love their tight ends? Do you love the quarter? Like, what do they do well?
Like, I can pick out a few things, but
they had one play for more than 20 yards the entire game yesterday. As Dan Weider has told us, how many games has it been since they've had a play of over 50 yards?
Well, they haven't scored. Like, they've had plays of over 50 yards, but I don't think they've scored a touchdown on a play from their own territory in several years.
That's the stat, yes. Yeah. So, like, that's what scares me most.
Like, it doesn't mean they don't, like Jimmy Graham in the red zone, there's some good plays there.
Right.
Like, Allen Robinson is a really good wide receiver. Right. Like, I can see Darnell Mooney making some really good plays. I think there are times when, Like, there was a play where David Montgomery made a catch and turned it into a 10-yard gain that was a really tough reception. There are individual signs of good things done by good players, but when you put it all together and you have 261 total yards of offense and you average 2.5 yards per carry, it's really hard to step back and say kind of generic things like, boy, the Bears are a great running team. No. The Bears are a great downfield passing. No.
The coordinator schemes guys open.
Not often. I mean, so, like, it gets difficult to be complimentary about what you're seeing on the offensive side of the ball at this point.
All right. The good, the bad, the dirty could be anything from the Bears game, from the NFL, or just in general life over the weekend. We'll get to the good, the bad, the dirty next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right. We'll get back to your calls coming up. Right now, it's the good, the bad, the dirty, and it's brought to you by our great friends at White Claw Hard Seltzer. Crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. Eric's in for Abdallah today. We'll go around the room between the four of us. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty from the weekend. Waddle, get us started.
Mine's very generic, and it is the Bears' defense. They allowed 303 yards and 16 points. They had 4 sacks, 3 takeaways, and they held the Panthers to 3 of 13 on third downs. They're getting that thing cranked up. It's the second straight week that they have been a significantly above-average group. But they were at their best, I think, on the season yesterday in Carolina.
All right, my good is, believe it or not, and I don't know how many people were watching, but the Major League Baseball playoffs. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch early games, but once these things got really dramatic, Waddle, you wanted chaos with the Astros.
Yes.
They were down 3-0. They came back for 3-3, only to have Tampa win in Game 7 over the weekend. And then last night's Game 7 was outstanding as the Dodgers came from behind. You talk about some emotion and some great homers with Kiki Hernandez. And then Bellinger with the strut. And then his shoulder came out in celebration. And, boy, have you seen any of the Mookie Betts catches?
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
Unbelievable. So that was good. I thought baseball, 2 Game 7s, and some of the excitement it provided was really, really good. Chris, what about you?
Guys, let's go Saturday night.
Yes,
I want to give a, you know what's good this weekend? Alabama in the second half against Georgia. Tight game at halftime and then 21 unanswered points in the second half as the Tide roll Bulldogs.
How did they consider, like, they had 2 receivers go in the first round this year, right?
Yeah.
And they've got Waddle.
Yeah.
And then they've got another kid. Like, 2 guys had
Smith.
I don't know where they'd be if they didn't have a Waddle.
Both of them had 160 yards. They're like a wide receiver factory.
Yeah, Mac Jones went 24 of 32, 417 yards, 4 touchdowns for the Crimson Tide.
Hmm.
You know, and I would say, I would follow this up by saying,
it's a big boy defense.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And I'd say, oh, they're the best team of the game. Oh, wait, hold on. Clemson rolled in their game. They would scored 73 points against a real team, Georgia Tech, Saturday night.
They do the same thing. Clemson does the same thing. Yeah. They find running backs and wide receivers that are just one after the other are so good.
The 2 best in college football, Bama and Clemson, and we'll see Ohio State plays this weekend. So the Big Ten starts up. So my good is the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, and Saban got to coach.
Yeah,
he got to coach, boys.
That was you guys cool with that?
And then he was dancing without a mask with his team afterwards. I mean, like, what? Hey, what about just in case?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I felt a little weird about that. And yeah. I've got something for that, too, in a little bit. Eric, what do you have for your good?
I'm going to jump on it with you with someone with the World Series.
Yeah, jump
I specifically
on it.
Wrote that 8th inning Bellinger home run. I was sitting there and I actually didn't see the hit, but I looked up the second he sat there and just tossed his bat in the air and stared at it. And it was just an awesome moment in a CS game. So I thought the Bellinger home run and then their pitcher Urias going three perfect to close the game out was pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was three innings he pitched. I thought it was an exciting game, and boy, the Braves really screwed that up.
Maybe that's my bad.
Oh, is that your bad?
That's my bad. Was the base running mistake? I believe it was the top of the fourth, and they had runners on second and third with nobody out.
Nobody out.
And then they found a way to get a double play and rundowns, and then the Dodgers got
terrible base running.
Yeah, you could argue that was the. I mean, that was a tipping point in the game. So Braves.
Oh, yes. Total turning point.
Yeah. So Braves, great run. Braves, bad base running.
Someone tweeted it. Maybe it was Passan. Someone said that the Braves took the lead, but the Dodgers have the momentum after that inning. And I thought that was a good way to put it.
Yeah.
My bad is e-learning is back in the Silverman household, Waddle. Not that it ever left. But the kids. Our district has shut down school once again. And, you know, there are some parents, a lot of drama up here in Deerfield over some parents not being responsible enough and thinking about the community instead of just thinking about their old party self. Reportedly was a party of like 50 or 60 people not wearing masks, hugs around with symptomatic people at the party. Next thing you know, they're sending their kids to school. Next thing you know, their kids get positive tests back. It's can we just do ourselves a favor? We're in this together, okay? There's going to be a time for the world's largest party. We're going to party our ass off when this thing is done, we get vaccines, when we get this thing under control. But until then, can we please be a good neighbor? Please be a good neighbor? Because we're back to e-learning again, and it sucks. Nothing from you guys?
Well, I don't know what to say.
I'm just letting that breathe. I can't relate, but I would imagine it sucks, yeah.
50 to 60 people at a party.
Well, that's
a week ago.
That's not smart.
That's a lot.
It's not smart.
There's going to be a time we're going to party. I love to party. Not now.
Keep yourself safe and, oh, by the way, so Sylvie doesn't have to e-learn the kids as well. So we do both. We accomplish both things at the same time.
Yes. We want our kids in school. We want our kids to learn. We want our kids to socialize. You're only hurting yourself by doing all this. What do you got, Black?
My bad is, did you guys notice anything at around 3:15 into the 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock window of watching football yesterday? This is kind of a bad to you, Sylvie. This was a prime spot for you to make the argument that we shouldn't have more football in every day of the week. Did you notice, didn't we have only two afternoon games yesterday? So if you're trying to watch the Red Zone channel and they're just flipping between different games. Listen, I can flip between channels. I can do that by myself. I don't need a channel to flip between two. The brilliance of the Red Zone is having four, five, six different games going at once and flipping all around. Sylvie, this was your angle. This was your take.
This was my point about the
Tuesday
football.
You should have used this today, so the bat is on you.
Well, no, I brought it up earlier, but I don't – look, I'm cool with football as much as possible, but what I like most is Sunday football. And after Bears game football, for the Red Zone to do what it's supposed to do, and there wasn't Red Zone football like you said, Black. There were two games, and one of it was a trash game.
Right.
Yeah, but if you've got Packers and Bucks, I mean, like, your full focus is on that game anyway.
Yeah, you need more, though. You need more.
Until it's like 24 to 10.
Right. That game was over, early in the third quarter.
The Packers basically quit. They didn't do anything then. They didn't make a run.
So what would you have preferred, that the Lions-Jags game was a 3 o'clocker?
I'd rather have more games. I don't like two games in the afternoon window.
What about like Broncos Patriots?
Point taken.
That one was as bad as Lions Jets.
It doesn't matter. Just move.
You
something
want anything?
There. Just give me something. Something.
What if they just put a different sport in there and they give you an update on it?
No, thank you.
No, like so sports red zone.
So you're dialed into Lions Jags. That's what you want.
In the mix as my third?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
As opposed to like maybe a tennis match.
Gambling.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. What do you don't like football
you
now?
Something.
You don't like football?
Now
the
you're arguing
football
against
player,
football,
you're against
Waddle?
Football?
Yeah, I had enough.
You want to e-learn too? You want to e-learn?
No, I don't need the e-learning. I've raised my kids. Go ahead and do yours.
Eric, what's your bad?
All right, I want to preface my bad with saying I think Jonathan Vilma overall has done a good job. I think he's added good insight during the broadcast, I don't think he understands how time works, and Jimmy Graham is not a talent that he thinks Jimmy Graham still is. I don't know if he passed out and was in a coma for 4 years or what.
They played together in New Orleans, right?
Clearly his friend, clearly, because for the whole first half, we were talking about how Jimmy Graham needs to be in the game.
Is there, like, a more perfect crew, though, for what the Bears are than what we... I mean, like...
Kenny Albert and Jonathan
Vilma? Yeah, like, they're not bad, but they're not good. And I don't want... At 5-1, I hope we can... I know we get Monday Night Football. I hope we could escape Jonathan Vilma. He's a good analyst on set. He's not a good analyst during a game.
My dirty was Aaron Rodgers' celebration. I don't know what it was. And it kind of just lost its steam, too, because then you got your ass kicked for the next 45 minutes.
Do you want to try and do the celebration for the Twitch listeners?
No, I don't.
All right.
No.
So this is from the show. Was this from the All-Stars that they do? It was a Key and Peele right? Wasn't this from Key and Peele?
It seemed like a whole lot of nothing. He was just standing there with his hands over his head.
No, because that's from, like, a television show from Key and Peele.
Huh.
Yes, that was a... Google that. And he was
on a work computer.
He was impersonating it. Yeah, Key and Peele. You've seen the All Stars.
No, I know Key and Peele. I'm just saying. How do we Aaron Rodgers hands above
he
head
flagged, yes.
celebration?
He got tattooed
Key and
on
Peele
the head.
Touchdown celebration.
And then got up.
Yeah,
and,
there was a flag on that.
Then the Bucks taught him the meaning of the word respect for the next three quarters.
Yes.
Rodgers' dance was an ode to Hingle McKringleberry, a fake football player who pushed the bounds of excessive celebration rules.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny, but so was the Buccaneers crushing them, and now they're saying it was good for them. Mm. I like when there's problems up in Green Bay.
I don't think there's really a ton of problems.
No, but I mean, you can't be thrilled after seeing.
No. Want to switch teams?
What's your dirty? I'll switch quarterbacks.
I gave you my dirty.
Oh, you did?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Okay.
The Kringleberry celebration.
The Kringleberry celebration was my dirty.
My dirty is, we've talked about it, is Tom Brady only shaking hands with guys that he thinks he's better than. You know, it's like Carmen was I do think that maybe BDN is intimidating to Tom Brady.
Big Nick.
That he thinks that... He's got everything. He can one-up Drew Brees. He can one-up Aaron Rodgers. But can you one-up BDN? And maybe that's why he runs for the hills when it's time to shake Nick Foles' hand.
He definitely can't hold a press conference like Nick.
Big Nick!
That's for sure. It's for damn sure. Him and his cliches. What do you got, Black? You're dirty.
My dirty is Cody Bellinger after hitting the home run. That was awesome. I know you guys said it for your good, but that was dirty. Being able to flip the bat like that and just
celebrate
towards first base, I love that.
And then wrap us up, Eric.
All right, so my dirty is, I don't know if you've seen tight ends around the league, but yesterday Trey Burton had two touchdowns, one rushing, one receiving. And Adam Shaheen in the last 2 weeks has two touchdowns as well.
It's the Ryan Pace All-Stars, as I like to call them. Yes. It's very good. And then we'll get to see Leonard Floyd this Monday, a week from today. By the way, we have afternoon football going on right now. We'll get you an update on Bills and Chiefs. You heard that right. If you're not aware, Bills and Chiefs are playing right now. It's
kind of an ugly game, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
Weather isn't good, and it's just a whole lot of overthrowing guys.
Have they figured out the Chiefs a little bit these days? It's good a question. Good question. We'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. And we've got Black with a good highlight package on the Bears win coming up at 5.
Hey, tonight we'll put a bow on week 6 of the football season. Then it's on to week 7. And to add to the excitement of week 7, DraftKings at Casino's Queens Sportsbook bringing back their can't miss odds boost. DraftKings at Casino Queens Sportsbook offers daily can't miss odds boost on some of your favorite teams and favorite players. And don't worry if football's not your thing. DraftKings is giving all MMA fans a chance to boost their profits by 50% when you're making plays on this weekend's UFC 254 bouts. DraftKings is safe, it's reliable, and it's secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. So head to the DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app now to check out their latest and greatest promotions. Don't want to miss out. Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25-time playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the 4 o'clock hour, and it's brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. They can get you pre-approved and locked in on the same day, and you can close in less than 30 days. Check out Ryan Kelly at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, the Bears are 5-1. What's on your mind? 312-332-3776. As usual, we're guest-free on a Victory Monday. Marcin Greco will be in studio. He's part of the show. He's not really a guest at 5:30. So we have plenty of time with your phone calls, and we take calls with Marky as well.
He's one of the guys.
And there were some great calls with Mark on Friday I'm still laughing about.
Asking him, what's the deal with his new heft?
He's as heavy as he's ever been.
That was his statement, not us.
Yes, his previous high was 212. He's at 220 right now. He's really past 212 quickly. So, Marky coming up, 332-3776. Our buddy Dre in Denver. Dre, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Great show. I mean, great callers, too. All since you started, I've been listening since you came after Greeny. Greeny had some good points, too, but some great callers. And you know what, though? I want to just say, Sylvie, you're right about I don't trust Ryan Pace. But the reason for my call is I want to let Tommy Waddle earn some of that big money he's making. Let's talk offensive mind play, sir. You ready?
Okay.
All right. So I'm looking at this. Now, I think the Bears can play with any team now with Nick Foles as QB. I'm glad the experiment with Trubisky is over with. I think the defense is good. I really think that they can really make a deep run if they start getting at least 150 yards to 200 yards per game on the ground.
Really?
Am I asking too much? I mean, you guys were talking about Doug Buffalo last week.
How many yards do you want? 150?
At least 150.
But Dre, there's only four teams in the league right now that are getting 150 plus. That's the Titans, the Ravens, the Patriots, and the Browns.
Well, can you imagine though this team with 100 we're running with those guys? I mean, that's a deep run. If we can get that going,
you're asking. Dre, do you know how many yards per game we average now? 90.
I don't know.
90. So you're asking for them to go from 90 to 150. How about if we just go to the average point? That's been
Here's my question to you then. Okay, you look at the Shanahans and the Denver schemes, right? Kubiak and all. First of all, I don't think Nagy's just even committed enough to the run to even go there. But how can the Bears come up with like a zone blocking scheme, or can they do anything to just help out on the run, man? I mean, come on.
You know what, Trey? I think it starts, honestly, with your talent up front. And I made this point a little bit earlier. And by the way, you know who's in the middle of the pack running the football this year? It's the Carolina Panthers. They average 117 yards per game on the ground. That's midway. That's halfway through the NFL. That's average in the NFL. So if you could get to 117 yards per game up from 90, which is obviously 27 yards per game more, then you're going to be at the halfway point. And that would be, Dre, I'm with you, that would go a huge, you know, that would help out in a huge way. But the point I'm making is when you look at the 49ers, and they're running it for 128 yards per game, and they've had some running back injuries, their left tackle's Trent Williams. He was the fourth pick of the draft. Their right tackle is McGlinchey, who was like the eighth or ninth pick of the draft. Like, they've got some first-round horses. I said horses on their offensive line. Look at the Tennessee Titans. Same thing. They got first-round bookends. You look at the Baltimore Ravens. Their offensive line is like, so teams have spent draft currency and draft capital on the line up
front.
Oh,
that's huge. That's what normal teams do.
And, like, I think the highest we've drafted a offensive lineman was James Daniels a couple years ago in the second, right? And Cody Whitehair was the third.
We draft the Bears as we. The Bears draft a bunch of interior linemen in the second round. Second to third round.
So
their tackles, they get them from the Cardinals and as a seventh round pick.
So that's, you know, like, that's honestly, I think that's where it starts.
Yeah.
Is that up front? Like, I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns. Their left tackle was the 10th overall pick. Their right tackle was the 8th overall pick. He was a free agent from Tennessee. Like, you've got two guys that are playing tackle for the Cleveland Browns, and they're the number one rushing attack in the league. Both of their tackles were top 10 picks.
Right, right. All right, we're back in 2 short minutes. The Bills are leading the Chiefs 10-7. There's a Monday afternoon football going on before the Monday nighter. This game's in the second quarter, 9 minutes to go. What did you think of Matt Nagy's decision to throw the ball at 3rd and 2 in the Bears' 4-minute offense to clinch the game? We'll get to that. Your phone calls at 332-3776. Back in 2 short minutes.